the Lord. Somebody say, yes, he does. You can beat that. Somebody say it again. Yes, he does. Oh, let's give him a big hand clap of praise this morning. In the house of the Lord, if you love him this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I see all of you made it back after the slaying last night. How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Amen. I got home late, but I did get to stream the service, and I got slayed over the internet just like you did here live and in person. But I'm going to tell you something. The word of God is sure, it's true, it's real, and it ain't nothing but the truth. Ain't nothing but the truth. Do you appreciate the truth? Do you appreciate a man of God that'll tell you the truth? Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Church, our God reigns. Our God reigns. I'm so glad that he does. Why don't you take just a second, shake hands with somebody, and tell them, our God really reigns. Our God really reigns, guys. You believe that this morning?
Amen.
You believe that, guys? Our God reigns. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord today. So good to feel the presence of the Lord going to be with us. I believe we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time here today.
Amen.
Just looking at the internet last night and the watching the service, the Lord certainly has been good to this assembly. In so many ways, we could never thank him enough for what he's done. I know Brother Larry's been gone a few days, but so glad that Brother Larry's back on the piano this morning. Amen. And you know, just looking at Brother Harvey lead the singing last night and the brothers here on the platform playing the instruments, I tell you what, God has been so good to us. You appreciate these guys up here. Amen. I certainly do. Every one of them. We just appreciate you as a congregation. You know, we're so diverse and so different in a lot of our ways, but yet God has put us here together to journey together, and we're so glad that he has done that. If everybody was like you, what kind of a church would this church be? If everybody's just like you, what kind of a church would... But so we're diverse. We are diverse in our ways, our thoughts, our actions, but God has placed us here together, and I'm so glad for it. I am so glad for it. And you know, 30 years ago, there was what looked like a young high school couple that became pastor, Brother Donnie and Sister Carol. They looked like high school kids, if you go back and look at the picture 30 years ago. But has it been an incredible 30-year journey? Has it been an incredible 30-year journey? Praise the Lord. Amen. We're so glad, and I say it 100 times, I'll say it another 100 times, we are not all of it, but I'm so glad we're part of it. We're part of God's great plan. Are you glad about that this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. Well, where do we go from right here? Let's see what we've got in the form of a prayer request. Sister Hannah Linichek sends in this testimony. I want to read that to you first. I brought my son Aaron up for prayer a month ago. He had severe eczema and was so miserable. Brother Donnie, the saints of God begin to pray for him. Since then, his condition has cleared up by 90%. We give all the glory to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We're so thankful for that testimony this morning. We have an unspoken prayer request for Sister Angel Brown. We want to commit that unto the Lord, that God would just be merciful and mindful of her. I want to pray for Sister Barbara Gravely, who goes to Charleston, West Virginia on Wednesday for heart problems. Pray for a complete healing for her. So her and Brother Bert, we just want to continue to remember them and pray for them. Brother Bean sends this in. Sister Lou Bean and Sister Sharon Binkley's mother crossed over at 2 a.m. this morning. Please pray for the family. So we certainly just want to be there for them and pray that the Lord would be so mindful of them and give them peace during this time. I want to remember Brother Amos Cutts in prayer, who is sick, unable to be in the service this morning. So we want to remember him in prayer. We have some folks visiting with us this morning. I'll never on earth get that last name right, but we want to welcome Brother Mack and family. They're Message Believers from Las Cruces, New Mexico. They're visiting with us this morning. Would you just raise your hand right back here somewhere? Give those folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. So glad to have you in the service. Any other visitors that we may have, you're so welcome here this morning. We want you to enjoy this service. Somebody say praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, let's go ahead and receive the morning tithe and offering, if you want to get ready to do that. All the visitors, like we said a minute ago, God bless you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service today, we want to say God bless our streamers. Can we do that together? God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand this morning, if you will. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little old song. We've wore it out, but it's still good. I'm so glad he looked beyond my faults. He saw I had a need, and he's the only one that can fix me. He's the only one that can fix you. You may think you're self-sufficient, but you're not too sufficient in yourself. He fixed you. He made you anew. Are you glad about it? Somebody say glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say I'm fixing to sing. All right, give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous! Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen, buddy.
Amen. Amen. Brother Louis does things different. But I'm glad that God's always on time, isn't he? Amen. I just want to say that we appreciate the service last night. My, that was just outstanding. That's all I can say. Amen. Someone give me a note. I thought it was real good. It says, I will not give up. I'll not give in. And if heaven is silent, I won't quit knocking. Amen. I like that, don't you? If heaven is silent, I'll not quit knocking. Amen. Let's pray over these requests this morning. Heavenly Father, how we love you, how we appreciate you today, God. Knowing, Lord, that we could be lost and undone. We could be in a sinner's grave today, Lord. But by your grace, Lord, you have looked down on us. Have mercy upon us. Oh, God, we pray that those north winds will blow. Those south winds will blow. That your fragrance will be in this tabernacle this morning. God, that your presence be among us. Oh, God, we just pray that you'll have your way among our people, Jesus. God, we bring our needs, our requests before you. God, we know that you're a great big God. God, you said that whatever we ask, you'll give it to us if we believe. God, may faith go forth today. Wherever it might be, Lord, those over the internet, those in different countries, God, we just pray that you'll bless them also today. Lord, be with our pastor. We pray that you'll bless him, Jesus. Be with our song singers and musicians. Take complete control. And God will give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Dave. Praise the Lord. Just want to say this before we sing our song this morning. Sister Sarah, if you come on the platform, be getting ready. Brother Joel Brown, if you come on the platform, be getting ready to sing after Sister Sarah. We do appreciate and thank God for all he's given to us. And just let me say this. The folks that fill in for these musicians, when they can't be here, they do an outstanding, outstanding job. They do an outstanding job. And we certainly appreciate every one of them. Didn't want to leave them out, but we all should just have a heart of thankfulness and appreciation for what God has done for us here today. Let's sing a song. We'd love to help you sing it. Psalms 3. He's the lifter up of our head. Are you always on top of the world? No. Sometimes the world's on top of you. But yet he is the lifter up of our head. He is our joy. He is our strength. He's the reason we live. He's the reason we're going to heaven. Are you glad about it? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Oh, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter.
Trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be would say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down and I slept. When I awakened, the precious, precious Holy Ghost sustain me.
For thou,
sing it to him,
art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons, every evil spirit that cries up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about. For I know thou, Lord, you are a shield for me. You're the glory, you are the lifter. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons, every evil spirit that rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about.
Praise as you're seated.
I've seen God's people pray by a hospital bed, and I've seen them struggling for their daily bread. Seen them standing at the grave of one who left us so young, and I've heard them crying out for their wayward son. But I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen them with tears in their eyes, seen them with their hearts breaking. I've seen them tested and tried, seen them with their face shaken. But I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen them when it seemed like there was no help in sight, seen them when it seemed like life was nothing but night. But in the eyes of heaven, something else was going on. They may have been all by themselves, but they were never alone. I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen them with tears in their eyes, seen them with their hearts breaking. I've seen them tested and tried, seen them with their like there was no help in sight. Seen him when it seemed like life was nothing but night. But in the eyes of heaven, something else was going on. They may have been all by themselves, but they were never alone. I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen them with tears in their eyes, seen them with their hearts breaking. I've seen them tested and tried, seen them with their face shaken. But I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen them with tears in their eyes, seen them with their hearts breaking. I've seen them tested and tried, seen them with their face shaken. But I've never, no, never, no, I've never, no, never, no, I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken.
Is good to me, to you, to all of us. And I'm going to do something different this morning. And I I'm just going to do a cappella. And it's Brother Louis' fault. And you all know me, I don't like to practice, but I did want to get this one in. But it's a very old song. And I've sang it once before that I can recall. But I, as far as publicly, and but I sing it all the time to myself. It sounds good to me. But what I want you to do is just listen to the words. Forget about the vessel. But just listen to the words. And I'll probably mess up. I mean that one on this one. So, but praise God. The essence of your presence manifests in love. Shekinah in my temple. Things on earth like things above. You're enthroned on the praises in the depths of my soul. As your fragrance fills me up, Lord, I pray it overflows. Let your glory fill this place. Let your glory fill this place. Lord, our hearts are prepared for you, and your glory we embrace. Holy Spirit, take control. Let this place be your abode, and let your glory fill this place. Let the wind of your Spirit, let it rush into this place. Lord, let cloven tongues of fire begin to settle on each face. For the train of your garments, my temple, they have
have filled. I cry, holy, 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 as your glory is revealed. Let your glory fill this place. Let your glory fill this place. Lord, our hearts are prepared for you, and your glory we embrace. Holy Spirit, take control. Let this place be your abode, and let your glory fill this place. Let your glory fill this place. Let your glory fill this place. Lord, our hearts are prepared for you, and your love we have embraced. Holy Spirit, take control. Let this place be your abode, and let your glory fill. Let your glory fill. Let your glory fill my space.
He's good enough to get up here and sing without a lick of music. I need every ounce I can get to cover me up. Let's stand this morning. It's time to go on into the service. As I said just a little while ago, we're so thankful that God has placed us together. Brother Donnie and Sister Carol celebrating their 61st birthday today. The Parker girls are celebrating birthdays. The Babb girls are celebrating birthdays. Brother Scotty's celebrating a birthday. And if we've missed anybody, hope you have a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous birthday today or whenever it is. And we're going to do something, and if I get escorted out of here, you're going with me because you helped me sing. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Sister Carol and to Brother Donnie. Some birthday cards have been placed on Brother Donnie's desk back in the office. He may not even come out. I don't know if he will or not. But we certainly appreciate our pastor and Sister Carol Reagan, do we not? Give me the key, buddy. Let's sing it. You sing it with me now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Chicken. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Give them a nice hand this morning. Brother Donnie, we loved you 30 years ago, a little over 30 years ago when you first started coming here. But 30 years this year, you have been our shepherd. You have been our bodyguard. We loved you then, but we love you more right now. We love you more right now. God bless our pastor.
He's fired. Amen. All of you that sung with him is fired too, so. Thank you, I appreciate it. It's nice to know that we're loved, isn't it? Yeah. I was telling Brother J.D. a while ago, I got birthday greetings today from Belgium and South Africa and all over the United States and different parts of the world. I appreciate that. Our birthdays really don't amount to much. Before long, we'll be gone. There'll be a headstone set up for us, or either that or go in the rapture. But the most important birth to all of us was the coming of the Lord Jesus. My natural birthday wasn't too great a day. I was born on the side of a road, actually, where my mom and daddy lived, in a little place called Windy City. And there's one store there, and it's kind of windy on the hill, so that's why they call it Windy City. So you drive by the little house, used to be standing there, but it's gone now, of course, many years, but a little old small place. I was born in the morning, and Carol, my wife, was born that afternoon. But that birth, you receive all kinds of bad things with it, all kinds of traits and attributes and things that bother your entire life. But I'm so glad I had another birth. Amen. I realize I couldn't have had the second birth without having the first birth, and I'm grateful for that. But that second one is the one that I'm so grateful for today. Thank you. Brother Louis, we'll keep you after all, I guess. God bless you. Let's turn today to the Song of Solomon again, if you would. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Always such an honor for us to be together in the presence of God. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Her reply, awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. Lord Jesus, we count it such an honor that we could be gathered together here today, Lord, once again in your presence and the presence of your children. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, what you mean to us. Lord Jesus, we count it such a great, great responsibility as well. Not only an honor, but a responsibility that has been given to us with the word of this day. We know with illumination comes responsibility. With light comes responsibility. With glory comes responsibility. So help us, I pray, Father, that we'll be able to be a balanced people. Not only a blessed people, but a balanced people. Assuming the responsibility that you've given to us, Lord, that we'll take the charge which you have placed in our hands. May we do it faithfully. You know our humanity. You know our weaknesses and our failures. But yet, Lord Jesus, somehow, in spite of all that, you loved us anyway. And we are so grateful. Would you speak to us today from your word, Father? You see what we have need of today. I pray that you'd come and custom fit this service according to the needs of your people. The visible audience and the invisible audience as well. Lord Jesus, this prayer cloth that I have in my hand, you know the need, the request. I'm praying, dear God, that you'd move, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them, it's good to be in church today.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. You can be seated, saints. God bless you. The garden was revealed in three stages or three pools. The earth itself was revealed in three stages, or three pulls. The earth has been through three different phases by which the glory of God has chose to reveal His mercy to this attribute called the earth. Also, the Shulamite was revealed in three stages. And we are as well, where the Spirit of God begins to deal with our heart, and then we progress and He deals with us in a greater way and greater until finally the glory of God will consume our mortality. We are grateful that the Spirit of God deals with us in stages. We would certainly be in a mess today if God saved us and demanded perfection as soon as we got saved, would we not? So God understands how we are in our humanity. He does not make excuse, of course, but He understands our humanity. The earth itself was the outer court. The place called Eden, which was a state, was the inner court. The Garden of Eden was the Holy of Holies. Let me go through it again. The earth was the outer court. Eden was the inner court, the holy place, the sanctified place, and the Holy of Holies was the Garden of Eden. So God chose to reveal Himself in the creation of the earth in the stages of three. So the earth was beautiful. It was perfection. It must have been overwhelming to look and to see what it was when God made it. Yet God separated Eden from the rest of the earth and gave it a higher stage. It was raised into a higher place. The dirt wasn't any different necessarily. The atmosphere wasn't any different. The oxygen, the carbon, the hydrogen, all the things that was there. But what made it different was God chose it to be different. And so was it then with the place in the east end of Eden called the Garden of Eden. It was selected from the selected. And the earth was also selected herself because she was different from Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Uranus, all the rest of the planets and stars as far as we know. The only one to live in the habitable zone by which life would be able to be projected on her and her be able to sustain it. Now God could throw life, if He so wished, on Pluto, but it would never live. God could put life upon Saturn, on Uranus, all the rest of these planets, but it would never live because they themselves are not in a what is called by scientists as the habitable zone. That is, that they have enough light and they have enough warmth and they have enough moisture to be able to sustain life. What good does it do to place life in a place if it cannot be able to respond to it? So the earth itself was created and placed in this habitable zone, and then God brings the evidence of life on the earth, and because the earth is in this zone, she has the ability to be able to nurture the life that God gave her. It would be senseless for God to do otherwise. It's the same really with the elect of God. Now God can deal with church people. God can save them. God can project an element of His mercy to them. But why give unto them eternal life, Zoe, from His own presence if they themselves are not in the habitable zone of the spiritual realm with God? Now no matter how much you and I love people and want them to be bride and want them to be this and that, if God never ordained them to live in the habitable zone, they will never be there. And neither will you and I. Because that is not something that we do by choice. It amazes me that man is constantly spending millions and millions of dollars of sending satellites and spaceships and whatever more out into the universe to try to find if there's another planet that has life. And he can't even make life on the one planet that he lives. So many problems, so many things that we deal with every day of our lives, instead of them trying to take their money and their scientific research to help this planet that they live and make it maybe a little bit better place to live, and to try to take care of diseases and things like that. They're all the time looking out yonder to see if they can find some other zone that's got some kind of alien out there. Some sort of creature that's got one eye in his head and drives a real fast a spaceship of some sort that pulls humans in there and captivates them. A bunch of nonsense. But that is man's way. Instead of trying to be able to understand and look at what God has done in the world that God has placed him in, he's always looking out yonder for something else. But yet we know that is man's way. And of course it certainly got greater whenever Darwin introduced his theory. And I do say theory because that's all that it is. And it is a false one at that. But God goes right on, and the church goes right on as well. And we know that God will never take back his word. So God, if you find God's pattern in the way that God does things, and then we're able to see that pattern, then we can follow that pattern and know that he's the same. Now in the sense that God has projected the earth in three stages, she was in the water and out of the water, then submerged in the days of the Antediluvian destruction, and then God rebaptized her after coming out of the initial stage. She was covered in water, and then the fountains of the deep broke up again, and she was submerged again. God brought her back in. The prophet calls it in Future Home the three stages of the earth. She's headed toward the final stage, of course, by which it won't be water this time, but fire that will rejuvenate her and bring her back to her original image. And God did, of course, the same thing, and whenever he placed the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden, in our minds, we might be able to imagine what it was like, but no doubt through our human weakness and through the darkness that came over us, we're so limited in what truly would be able to perceive. But just imagine that it was a place of such beauty, a place of such peace and happiness that was on the earth. And it was a place that these great chosen animals of God were there. None of them were vile. None of them were carnivorous. None of them were mean. There was none of them that sought to kill one another. None of them actually sought to kill man. But it was a beautiful paradise of God. And yet when God made it, he knew that it would not last very long. For man himself is also revealed in threes, or in a threefold stage. He was in the beginning in the mind of God as an attribute. And God desired to express the attribute in the form of a tangible resource, which is following the very thought of God. The prophet tells us in 1964 that the whole thing is God himself becoming tangible. It come from the realm of the eternal that he condescends into the pillar of fire, or the Logos. When it goes out of the eternal into that, you and I move with him. We don't remember it, of course, because we were only attributes. So then he moves from there, and then of course God moves into the form of flesh, which was what we call the sonship of God, or Jesus Christ. It's the same way with us, that we are also reflected by that in the spiritual part, in the natural part, and then when the natural and the supernatural merge together. Jesus being the head of the new race, which was the God race. What was the God race? Jesus being the head, he was a God man. After his resurrection, he was the God God. You and I are now God people, but that's not the end of it. We want to be God God. Praise the Lord. By that, I mean that your soul, which is from God, will now live, once you are changed, in a body which also came from God, which makes you God, God. In the sense of the Lord Jesus, his humanity, when he was on the earth, he could be tempted, he could be tried, he could be tested. He was the head of this new race, which was a God-man. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man. And the church said, well, hold on with me now. If you are truly born again, that soul inside of you is 100% God. It ain't got nothing to do with your daddy, nothing to do with your mama, and action ain't got nothing to do with you. It's 100% God, an attribute that was in God. But it remains in a human vessel, which is 100% man or woman. So we are still in this second phase of the stage of God. So what are we longing for? We are longing for the third and final stage, when it will no longer be God-man, but it will be God-God. So it will be
the attribute inside of you, living in a body. The prophet says that in what is across the mystery of God revealed, that it will be eternal life in a human body. As of yet, it is eternal life in a human body, but only has perpetual life in this body itself. So we are still remaining now in the second stage. And we are longing, of course, for that great day when we will be totally changed. The same with the earth, in that the earth itself was the outer court and the place called Eden, which was like a state, the prophet tells us, and question answers. Then Eden was like a state inside this country or planet of the earth. And the Garden of Eden was a small city or a small location that was pulled out of this paradise or this place called Eden. It was a special place by which God had chose to place his son there. Out of his son then, his son in reality gives birth to his own wife. Because God takes the elements from his body and from his spirit, and he begins to form a body and brings her to the man. Now in that, God placed him in this perfect state, knowing it was a state of probation. They were placed on a probationary period, and God knew that this was necessary in order for the full attributes of God to be revealed. You follow me so far? Now then we see that the Shulamite was actually revealed in the symbols of the Song of Solomon in three stages of a garden as well. So there was three stages by which the Song of Solomon is written, in a proverbial state of saying that she answers to the antitype of the garden itself that was around her. Now remember, the Shulamite is actually a garden in a garden. So when you'd hear these things about the garden in the Song of Solomon, remember that there was a natural garden which was right outside of the palace in Solomon's estate, which was near him there. The historians say it was a garden by which the king alone would be able to go. So he would be able to look out of his place there and see this beautiful garden, which was his alone. It was enshrouded or kept enclosed by a garden wall, exotic plants, all types of things, no doubt water fountains and things that were there. But as he meets this Shulamite, which maybe they had come into existence after he had already made the literal garden itself, then he sees a symbolism between what he sees there in the garden and the one that he sees in her. Now, as it is with any garden, you do not plant them, of course, full grown. Now, you're able to go to a nursery and be able to buy pretty good sized trees, and they can bring a machine out with a root ball, pretty gigantic root ball, and set trees out that may be 10, 12 years old. But normally, most people buy, if they're going to landscaping or garden, they buy within their budget of what they're able to do. So they'll go to Lowe's and Home Depot and buy a gallon or 2 gallon size or 5 gallon size, and then they know that it will grow and it will become what they want it to be. Now the Lord truly could have planted the whole entirety of the earth, and he could have made Eden and the Garden of Eden as well with full grown mature tree words from the spoken attributes of the original book of life. Now he could have transplanted them not by a piece of machinery, but by his own word. Now they were rooted and founded in the book of life, or the Lamb's portion of the book of life, and they could have been projected to the earth as God so desired by speaking them into existence. Let so and so live in Europe. Let so and so live in America. Let them live. And God could have populated the entire earth and made the trees of God everything placed there. But instead, God decides to break it down in a more slow, progressive manner. Now we don't know exactly, because the Bible doesn't say, and I've not found it myself in the message, how that when God placed the botany life on the earth and all the things, the plants and animals, were they in their more matured state in a few days? Did it take months? Did it take years? We really don't know, but yet we look at the character and the trait of God, and you see how that God does by gradual progression of life. I would tend to think more myself that God planted the seeds, and then the seeds come up out from the antediluvian destruction, as well as the pre-Adamite, as we call it, that world, and it comes up and it begins to grow, and the atmosphere begins to move upon it. And then they grow and they grow and they become, through however long that it was, that they grow into a state of maturity. Now God could have actually spoke every attribute out of the book of life and placed them on the Garden of Eden as well, but instead of doing that, God decides likes to start with A. A, D, A, M. So God begins alphabetically correct. A. Now, all B, C, D, E, F, G through Z will be brought, but not at that time. So God opens up the book of life. And apparently after the name of the Lord Jesus, the first one listed was Adam. Now, had my name been after the name of Jesus, I would have been in the Garden of Eden, me and Carol. If your name would have been directly after the Lord Jesus, it would have been you and your wife. But God chose to write Adam's name under the name of, remember, the name of the Lord Jesus is also written in the book of life, speaking of the time that he would become a mortal. So after the name of the Lord Jesus, apparently taking from the succession of the order of God, then would come the name Adam. So God decides to take the man Adam and bring him from the book of life and place him upon the earth. Now when Adam walks into this, he has walked into a place that God has now brought him into, this beautiful place of perfection, and the earth has already moved from stage one, stage two, into stage three. So Adam is brought in his stage one into the earth, and it's stage three. So Adam here now standing like this, but walking into a place that's like this. So if you place this in this, what are you going to have? A lack of perfection. Now he was perfect in the sense of perfect of the state that God made him. But the state that God had made him and placed him still lacks something to keep him from falling. Because whatever it was that he had in this state, living in this world, he was able to fall from that and go back to this. So whenever he went from that to this, what did God do? God removed him out of this. Now he leaves the holy place, and now he also leaves the second realm, which was Eden, and he's brought outside of the Eden gates, and now he's living in the outer court or in the face of the earth itself. When he walks into that, now he's introduced to toil, labor, sweat, perspiration, and so on. The ground itself now is also cursed. So it is truly the outer court, because God had moved upon this place called Eden, and once man fell, then Eden actually lost its identity. So we have a general idea somewhere in the valley of Shinar near Egypt, coming over to there, the cradle of civilization was where it was, but there is not one remnant of the Garden of Eden that is left. There is not one remnant. Sure, we can go to the four rivers, Pison, Euphrates, and the Tigris, and we can kind of trace them back and see where it comes to a head. But if you and I would go there and arrive sometime tomorrow, the next day, and we would go on an expedition to look and try to find it, and we would take the Bible and we look so diligently, we would not be able to find one trace of that original paradise of God. Why? Because the man who was called to live in the third realm, once he fell from that place, the third, the second, and the first all became changed because of his fall. You follow me now? So it shows the power that a man only with this stage has over an earth which has moved into this stage. You realize how that God so incorporated his son into the program of God, that God would allow this son, which is now living upon the earth in this stage one, if we can say it that way, that his fall brought upon this paradise of God such, oh my, such horrific fall. There's no way we can imagine. We look at the earth and we think she's so beautiful. There's no way we can comprehend what it was in its original state. If it's pretty now, and it is it not? Many of you travel on vacations and go here and see waterfalls, and you go there and see forests, and you go out west and see the beautiful caverns and whatever more, and you think, how beautiful. And it is. But you, can you imagine what it was before there was ever any thorns and thistles and dry places on the earth and everything of perfection of God. But God so incorporated this man into his program, and he gives the earth into the man's control. So the earth is under the man's dominion. And am I so glad today that our Father did not place the entire universe under the man's domain, only the earth itself. So when the man fell, only his domain under him fell with him. So all the stars, the universe, all the galactic miles that are out there, none of that actually fell. It's an original state that God made it in the beginning. Praise God. Now in this, we want to run a parallel, if we can, by the help of the Lord, that the garden there that Solomon is looking at was revealed in three stages of the garden, as well as you are, and as well as the Shulamite herself. She's called out by this visual appearance that she has unto Solomon's heart. Something begins to move upon him, and he's drawn toward her. Now, this is the first stage of the beginning of her journey. She's out there with sheep, and she's in her home country. She's a Jew, as far as we know, but she's a poor girl, been very much looked down most of her life, sounds like, and she's one that people probably thought would never amount to much, should never make much out of her life, should never be a person of very great esteem and very great honor. That's what a lot of folks thought about you too. That's what a lot of folks thought about me. They didn't realize I was going to become the queen of heaven. Amen. Oh my, no doubt the people would look at her and say, poor little thing, she'll never really amount to much. Her father's poor. They don't have a family name in Israel. They don't come from any of the great tribes. As a matter of fact, we're not even sure what tribe she come from. So this is the first stage of her coming out. And it's the same in the spiritual sense of us as being children of God. We wander around in darkness, and sometimes there'll be a streak of light that will maybe be able to break through the darkness, and you'll get a little bit of understanding that there is a God, and something will move upon your heart, and you may go and join a Baptist church or a Methodist church or whatever more, and a little bit of light begin to break through. And that is the initial stages of God starting to deal with you, but you're far from being a matured garden. You're very, very far from the image of what God wants you to be. And we know that actually the garden is revealed, as I heard it several times this morning in songs and several things, remarks that was made. And that was the term glory. Well, that's what we want to look at, is the help of the Lord, is that the garden is actually revealed from one stage of glory to another, from one stage to another. God decided in the beginning, when time began, to reveal himself in stages of glory. How that he would not be able to make himself known in the fullness of his person, even the elect, it would totally blind them. But he reveals himself from glory to glory. And as the glory increases, it may minimize the visual appearance as far as the way the world looks at it. Now, for God to be able to make millions and millions of stars, to set them in their paths and their orbit, and they're all still exactly where God placed them in the beginning, for God to be able to make the expanse of the heavens across the horizontal rainbow, to make elements of time and all these great things that God has done. My, what a vastness that it was. And then one day God reaches down into a pile of dust, and God takes out of that dust and he forms a body, and he calls it a man. Now, people would look at and think, my goodness, there's no way that that was an excelling of the glory compared to the expansion of the universe, because look how far that it goes. But the way God looks at it, he saved the excellent glory for the last stage of what he was going to make, and that was the man. Now, is man as big as the earth? Of course not. Is man as big as Mars? Is man as big? You know, man's not as big as many of the asteroids that fly right near our earth every year. But yet, in the way God looks at it, this was the excellent glory because it contained the Creator's image. As big as Saturn is, it does not contain within itself the Creator's image. Amen. Arcturus and that, all these great things, they're beautiful, they're wonderful, and we see the unfolding attributes of the Creator in it, but none of them look like the Creator himself. But when God makes the man, then of course the neighbor breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Bible tells us in 1962 that God breathed into Adam's nostrils, he became an eternal person with God. So he now enters into that oneness upon the earth that he and God can have fellowship. Now God, of course, reflected projecting that image inside the created man. And it was a twofold image in that it was a spirit image first, and then it was a bodily image which reflected the fatherhood and the sonship both in the same body. Boy, I wish somebody preached with me this morning. Now, God desired to be able to become tangible among his subjects, among his people. But he cannot do it, of course, until several stages have passed and it unveils the glory. Now, true, the glory of God that was revealed on Sinai was a wonderful thing. But yet, the glory that was revealed to Moses as a person was a more excellent glory, because now God, through condescension, had revealed the glory in a higher way. I hope you understand me. God is revealing his glory in a higher way, but the way man looks at it is constantly condescending. Now, which would be the greatest glory? God in Jesus Christ? Well, that could be the ultimate. There could be no greater glory than that. In one way, that is true. And one way, it's not the full truth. Because the way he looked at it, the greater glory would be for that same personification not only to be in one man, but to be in an entire body upon the earth. Praise the Lord. Now we look at a man, and boy, a man stands there in the symbol of his youth and his strength and his strong arms, whatever more that he is, and we say, there could never be anything that would go beyond that. Yet Paul says that the glory of the man is the woman. How in the world could that be? So the crowning glory of the man would be the woman. So the woman stands there and she lifts barbells. He can bench press 150. She bench presses 210. He says one thing to him. She smacks him up the side of the head. That's a dominating female anointed with the Catholic Church spirit. So how is she the greater glory than the man? Through the condescension again of the Creator. You follow me, say? It's the same way with the church. People look at what we are and they say, my goodness, well, that puny bunch of people, they're this and that and the other. They're not great. They're not renowned. They're not this. I agree. But that is the condescension of God. And people around the message even say, well, look at them poor old preachers. They're not like Brother Branham. They don't do this like Brother Branham and not like Brother Branham. I agree totally, but according to the plan of God, it is in a greater stage right now than it was when Brother Branham was here, even on up to 1965. Why? It is the multi-aspect, many-membered body that God, through condescension, chooses to bring it to a higher and greater glory. Will we ever do what Brother Branham did? No. Is there any man on the earth that is sent to take Brother Branham's place? Absolutely not. Nobody can take his place, and may I say it further, neither can anybody take yours. That's right. So God decides to be able to bring the greater, but he does it by condescension. And he does it in such a way that the carnal mind of man, he just looks right over it and stumbles over the greatness of God. Yet to God, it is great. It is absolutely tremendous. Now, in the Shulamite, we see the same thing. Here is King Solomon, the greatest king at this time of the world. His wisdom was surpassed by none. His understanding surpassed by none. People would come from different parts of the world to see him. And yet this man, which would have any woman that he wanted, I guess, any queen that he would want, whoever more, for political ties, but yet this little girl steals his heart. Now here we're going to see the very epitome of the depths of the love of God, and it's going to be through the act of condescension. This little girl didn't know how to talk. She probably didn't know how to walk. She's probably clumsy, and you know, who knows how she was, and never lived in a fine home, and never taught how to say proper Hebrew, more like a slang type of Hebrew. And yet this man is going to see her, and when he does, she is absolutely going to smite him. She is going to captivate this great king. How is it going to be? God, amen. God is writing the act of condescension in the life of this man and woman. Aren't you glad? How in the world could we of people, here we sit today, several hundred of us sitting here today, but there's churches all over the Tri-Cities that's way bigger than we are. They do a whole lot more for God, so-called, than we could ever think about doing. They reach many more people. They do so much more. And here we are. We just kind of go along and mind our own business and give a book here and a tape there. You know, do what we feel led of the Lord to do. We live our lives, come to the end of our life. The preacher says a few words over us and we go sailing off somewhere. somewhere, people think, and they don't realize where we're sailing off to. We're sailing off into a special permanent place, or temporary place, let me say, a special temporary place in the sixth dimension, gathered under the headship of the ministry of Malachi 4. Amen. We are not gathered there, hallelujah, to wait till after the tribulation period, but we are gathered in a preemptive dimension that will forerun the rapture. Lord God, hallelujah. We are gathered into a special holding place in a theophany body which has been awaiting us, glory to God, since the foundation of the world. There we are not held a captive. We are not held a prisoner. We are birthed across the river of death, and we step out of the river in a brand new body. The bluegrass blowing by the gentle breeze coming out of the sixth dimension. We see the saints of God which have gone on before us. We meet the prophet of God. We see they are young forever. We see they are never sick. They are never tired. They are never weary. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And where do the foolish virgin go when they die? The grave. It's only promised that the redeemed have angels. I ain't just got a soul. I got an angel. And that angel is me. He don't look like you. You got your own. Now let's look at the stages. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 11. What's this stage now? The first stage of the garden. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear. Notice now. It's like the earth, Lord Jesus. It's like the earth coming out of the cataclysmic, catastrophic damage that was brought upon it between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And the Spirit of God begins to move upon the face of the deep. And now, lo, the winter, or the time of darkness, or this great cataclysmic thing that happened upon the earth is past. Again, after the antediluvian destruction, the same thing occurs again. That Noah could stand out there and say almost the same thing. Lo, the rain or the flood is past. The rain is over and gone. Noah could stand up and say, my wife and my children, the rain is over and gone. Let us move out on this new earth. Oh, praise be to God. What was it, the stage of the earth bringing forth life again? Why? Because the planet earth lived in the habitable zone. And when God sent the antediluvian destruction upon the earth, all it did was tilted the earth over by atomic power. They blew it over, blew it out of its orbit, tilted over on an axis. And what did it do? It did not move it from the habitable zone. It's still where she was. Oh, praise be to God. It's the same with you. You were born in sin, shaping iniquity, come of the world, speaking lies. But in your soul is still in the habitable zone by God. To be habited by what? The Holy Ghost himself. Oh my. The flowers appear on the earth. So they were gone. But now the rain is gone. Friends, can you imagine what an empty feeling it must have been that day as the ark settles on Mount Ararat? And she settles down. The water keeps receding, going down, and she finally goes down. And there she stops. And Noah waits and waits till God tells him, go out. And he flings open that door and he walks down that plank. The first time that he's seen the earth since all this great thing happened. By now the flowers are starting to bloom and the trees. And Adam, or Noah rather, walks out upon the earth as Adam would have a long time before this. Him and seven more people.
All right.
seven more people upon the entirety of the earth. 8 human beings on this planet. But the winter is past. The rain is gone. And the flowers are appearing on the earth again. Don't you understand? That's you. When the Spirit of God goes to dealing with your heart, and you first find Christ, or let me rephrase that, Christ finds you. And your new birth, you start on your journey towards your new birth. Here it was the earth. The earth was now, after the antediluvian destruction, she had now moved past the first stage of her new birth. Oh man, the things you like to do, you're still struggling with some of them, but a lot of it's gone and you feel so different. And my, you're saved. You want to go to church and you want to be around Christians. What is it? The winter time of that dark solstice of your life is now past. And the flowers are starting to come up in your life. The flowers of justification and the flowers of church and the flowers of singing and the flowers of clapping your hands. Wow, there's just flowers everywhere and you're just blooming all over everybody. The flowers appear on the earth. And the time of the singing of birds has come. You ever notice how quiet birds become in the wintertime? Oh, there's still some that sing. But mainly the songbirds leave and go to a warmer place. So if the birds are singing again, it's a sign something has come back home to roost. Glory to God. Everybody sings, friends. Everybody sings something. But the songs of the redeemed are different songs. They're not just even songs that are written by human authors, but they have a song from the other side. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. And what is it? Something has come back. The harshness of the winter dark soulless that hung over your soul, that kept you darkened away from God. Little rays of light have begun to penetrate, and the Spirit of God has moved upon you, and the darkness is driven back from your life. And when they do, what happens? The sun begins to shine, and the flowers, which was already laying there inside of you, they already were there. Amen. And they start blooming. The time of the singing of the birds is come. And the voice of the turtle. Now this is not the little guy who carries his home around them with him on his back. This is actually the Hebrew word for turtle dove. Because turtles don't sing as far as we know. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. So what is the sign of the dove? Oh God! The sign of hearing the dove. What's the dove calling for? Its mate. Amen. It's mating time. Again. Don't you understand? Those of you that really hear it right, when you hear this message, what do you hear out of it? A Kentuckian, Brother Branham? Another Kentuckian, Donnie Reagan? A Virginian, a Terry Horn, or you know, a Tennessean, Wes Willis. It ain't that you're hearing. It's the voice of the turtle dove. It's the voice of your bridegroom. What is it? It's the time of mating again. Springtime has arrived. Oh, you know, there's something about it. There's just something about that new experience, that new feeling of when you first got saved. Even Brother Branham in 1965, just about a month or so before he's fixing to leave the earth, he said, how long for those mountaintop experiences to feel like I did when I first got saved? And y'all be honest and say, yeah, I understand that. You remember how that newness was, that freshness of it was? You know, and it can be the same way with your marriage, that you get married, oh my, you're just so happy and you just love one another so much. And if you're not careful, monotony can be produced by monogamy. Living with the same woman every day, the same man every day, living with them and being happy. It's going to be up to you whether or not you allow that to be just as happy 20 years later or 40 years later. But it will be up to you. God wants it to be. It's the same way with serving God. Many folks, after years being around the church, well, you know, I still believe it. Yeah, right. Sure you do. Yeah. I remember when some of y'all moved here from Texas and Louisiana and wherever more, you couldn't wait to get to church. Nothing would stop you from church. About anything stops you anymore. You are pitiful. Some of y'all got DVDs from this church. You got CDs from this church. You stream from this church. You couldn't wait to get here. Now you've got the church and the preacher. And you still don't come. You mean you'd rather have a DVD than me? You'd rather have a DVD than these people? You'd rather sit home and stream a service 1,000 miles away or whatever more than sit here in this supercharged atmosphere? Streaming's good. DVDs is good. But it ain't like G-O-D. Woo! Boy, brother, when we get together in the presence of God, you folks that's streaming this morning, you can't imagine how good it feels. Amen. Thank God for streaming, but God never allowed streaming to be invented to replace going to the house of God. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come. Notice this, not has. It is come. It is coming. It's present tense. It's come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard. Notice where it's heard at. In our land. This message, Harry, is our land. You won't hear the bridegroom's call outside of this revealed word for the hour. I don't like it. I don't care. I'm here to tell you the truth. You're not going to hear it in these denominations. You're not going to hear it in these man-made groups. You're going to hear it in our land. Our land. The Son of Man will come down and reveal himself and unite him and the bride together to be one, he says. It will be so real, it will be the Son of Man made flesh among us. The bridegroom's call will come through this, he says. Notice in verse 13 now where she's at in this first stage. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. They're not ready to be eaten yet. They're going to give you a bad bellyache if you eat them now. They might make you sick if you eat enough of them. It shows where she is. The first pull of her garden. She's really pitiful. She's a pitiful Christian, really. She's a pitiful bride. In this stage, I mean. Well, hallelujah. When we first come to God and first start hearing the truth, we're really pretty pitiful. And for those of you that's still there, you're really pitiful. You've sat around this word for 25 or 30 years and you're still in stage one, you better wake up quick. So the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines and the tender grape. Notice what stage now? The vines and the tender grape. Oh, you got to baby them. You got to pet them and you got to, you know, just handle them so gently, so easy, because they're just so easy to offend. Can't preach hard. He was looking right at me. Children, who am I supposed to look at? Y'all want me to look at the screen all service? You get people in that stage. Some's been around for 30 years and they're still in this stage. That's the sad part. Well, thank you, Jesus. Y'all liked it better when we was out here in the galactic stars a while ago, didn't you? The fig tree put forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape. Now, there's one good thing about this stage. It produces a good smell. You know how it is when you get around folks, they've just come into the message. Oh, glory to God, brother, I've been listening to 5 tapes a day. Lord, some of y'all can't remember when you've done that. Man alive, I can't get enough. I've been listening to some of the people that had come to our church not long back. They started listening to our services and started streaming. The brother told me, he said, I've listened to this month and that month and that month. I mean, they hadn't been around for about 2 months, and they then went back a year and a half. services that you sat in. Why? So hungry. The grape was so tender and had such, I love that aroma myself. I love getting around Christians and say, Brother Donnie, talk to us about the word. Talk to us about the word. Tell us about the good things that God said and want to know. What's the price of silver? What's the price of gold? How much is crude oil? Oh, I'm worried about my business. I'm worried about you. You better be worried about your soul. Put him first. He'll take care of your business. Oh my, listen at him though. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. See, he don't wait till you're so full of the Holy Ghost, you're so mature, that he starts giving you this kind of love. He starts dealing with you when you really don't deserve it. Can I go on? Now, what's the second stage of the garden, the second pull? We just read it. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Our plants are an orchard of pomegranates. Now here we come in the second growing season. Pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon. This could not be said to her when she was in the first stage. These were not in her life, only in seed form. He is now speaking the manifestation of what will forerun the attributes that's in her. He speaks it and she comes to it. You say, why is this necessary? It's necessary that it be spoken so you can grow into it. It's necessary that it be spoken, amen, by the word of God, that it places the standard before you, and that is your standard. Our standard don't match the world, friends. Myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. But now what's the third stage? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of Happy Valley and see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Abinadab, which is literally my people, a noble one. So he comes into the stage of the garden to where this is the last stage of the harvest cycle. Now you know as well as I know that nuts are not mature to eat until they have reached the last phase or last cycle. Here he sees her. Now I want you to notice how sad what follows this. Return! Return! Oh, Shulamite! Return, return, that we may look upon thee. This would follow the third stage. Why would you need to beckon her to return if she's come up to this so close? Her heart, her soul is the fertile garden which contains the seed. And the weed patch is right here, right by it. And them old creepers and them thorns and them thistles and them briars that you pack with you every day of your life. Come on, church, say amen. Oh, if I could, like my brother, my mother-in-law, I'll tell you one thing, that mother-in-law, if I could get rid of her, I'd be a real Christian. You'd be in prison. It's my brother, it's my sister, it's Uncle so-and-so, it's you. It's you, it's them weeds. It's that weed patch that cries its best to get over into the fertile soil of your soul. To hinder what? Your growth, your maturity, your productivity as a child of God. Your soul belongs to God, it's sealed. But because it's on the outside, it's like a great big old man. Many of us have, we have got some briar jumpers, ain't we? We have got some kind of weeds and
I humbly beg your pardon. For those of you among us today who do not have a black dog, and for those of you who are only third pull people, soul, body, and spirit, flesh, soul, all of you, I humbly beg your pardon. But I will preach to the others who are just humans filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you've got a figment of your imagination that does not exist. So here he is. He says, I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley. Harvest time. Harvest time. The fruits, the nuts, for many of them, of course, like ours, at the end of the harvest, we'll be there before you know it. Summer will be gone, and we're there before you know it. Many of the fruits that will come right up at the end, many of the nuts will come right at the same time, and she's right almost at that place of crossing over. She's almost there. But there's a plea. Return. Return. Notice the number of times he says it. Four. Four is the number of earthly deliverance. Right? Return. Look at the meaning of this word. To turn back. Return or turn back to God. Repent. Restore. Refresh. Repair. How many feels like sometimes you need a restoration, a repairing, a refreshing from the Lord? So Christ calls his spouse with a message of returning. Four times he calls her. Four times. What's this? Restoration of the bride tree. There was four death messengers that killed that tree. Is that right? What was it? Palmer worm, locust, canker worm, caterpillar. Is that right? Four messengers of Roman devils, dogmas, killed the tree. One took its fruit. One took its bark. Now notice, one took its leaves. And of course, the other one took its life. One took the life. Is that right? Four messengers of dogmas that killed the tree. All but the roots. If the four messengers of death kill the tree, four messengers of life restores the tree. So there are four messengers of death that will come and try to take the life and the fruit and the bark and the leaves away from this bride tree. And if there was four death messengers, there must be four life messengers.
Praise be to God.
Four death messengers killed it, then four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. What was the second? John Wesley, by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. The Word. What was Luther saying? Return. What did Wesley say? Return to sanctification. What did Pentecost say? Return to the restoration of the gifts. What did Elijah say? Return to the full Word. Return. Not just to justification, not just sanctification, but return to the full Word, till the Word-born bride can be manifested on the earth. Return, 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 O Shulamite.
There were four great prophets, one of them Martin Luther. Began to shine a light. It was a little light, just a very small strength of justification. Noah stepping out of the ark. So Noah steps out of the ark, goes over and offers a sacrifice to God. God sends a rainbow. Noah gets happy, goes and gets drunk. Whoa. That's a justified man. He's struggling with pornography, he's struggling with cigarettes, he's struggling with drugs, he's struggling with alcohol. But Noah was the beginning. But Enoch was the end.
Methuselah was a mighty man. He died the same year, of course, we know that the flood came upon the earth, but he was not included in a rapture. So Noah, beginning the time, Noah's not your time. Me and Carol stood a week or so ago up in the great big ark that they reconstructed up there in Kentucky. My, it's a great thing. But I told her, I said, you know, look at all these people. Most of these women with bobbed hair, wearing shorts, painted face, everything. They can identify with this ark a whole lot easier than you and I can, because Noah is not our type. Enoch is. I'm not going over through the tribulation. I'm going up before the tribulation ever gets here. Noah wasn't the seventh from Adam. Enoch was. Notice, along came Wesley, stronger, sanctification. Actually, Wesley came stronger than him, Pentecostal. Baptism with the Holy Ghost and another great prophet. But in the last days of Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word. The word of the Lord came to the prophet in the evening lights. It's to come to restore and bring back what? Return, O Shulamite. What? Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And then he calls it the fourth light. It's like you. You have four dispensations of light in your body. That's what makes x-rays work. You come up to a certain time in your time frame in your life and you have those four rays. When you reach a certain age, ray one starts fading back. Certain age, ray two starts fading back. Ray 3 starts fading back. You get older in years, you've only got one left. Oh, you didn't know he taught that? Yeah. God is reversing what happens in your anatomy physically. Instead of taking away, God's restoring all four. We believe in justification. We believe in sanctification. We believe in the restoration of the gifts. We believe the full word is born into manifestation. Notice this, the fourth light is to come that will bring the same signs. Watch, justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. That's why you can see all these Christians out here with hardly any bark on. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, that's good. That's fresh from heaven. Man alive. They've not even gone back as far as Wesley. That's why they hardly wearing no bark. They ain't got no bark on their trees. Well, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but most of the trees I see that are naked are dead. You go up to a tree out in the woods and you see it ain't got no bark on it, it's a good sign the life is left. You see a woman that ain't got much clothes on, there ain't no life of Jesus there. If it was, it'd grow bark. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. What is it? Pentecostal. Leaves. Clapping their hands. That's why some of y'all don't clap. You're Methodist. You're barked, but leaveless. You're leafless. Does everybody love the Lord? And it's happened to me in church. Well, glory. Pentecostals, what is it? Leaves. Clap their hands. Joy. Rejoicing. Pentecostal. Oh, you say I ain't no Pentecostal? Well, you need to be. The original one. Not 1906, Acts 2. Notice what? The fourth was the word itself. The word made flesh, fruits of the proof. Lord God, fruits, fruits of the proof of the resurrection. Word fruit time, friends. Word fruit time. What is it? The fruit, the proof of the resurrection. Our resurrection, our body change is so near. The mighty God is among us performing miracles. Amen. Changing lives. The fruits of his resurrection. Amen.
But Christ has finally, after justification, been planted. Sanctification been planted. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Organizations died out. And Christ has again centered himself like the cap on the pyramid. My time is gone. What in the world? Who stole my time this morning? Let's stand. We can come back to see me if you want to. Glory to God. I'm sorry, friends, but when I get out there spinning around in eternity, I lose all track of time. Let's read this scripture together. Brother Eric, 2 Corinthians 3:15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts, speaking of Israel. Nevertheless, when Israel turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The word change is metamorpho, which is transfigure. Transform, to be changed into another form. You understand where we are? Mount Sunset produces another Mount Transfiguration. We are being changed within our soul, within the stages of our growth in God, our garden. It is forerunning the body change. It's the same word used for a tadpole being changed from a tadpole to a frog. The same word used for a little caterpillar that is changed from a little long worm into one day his legs change, his body changes, and he flies as a beautiful butterfly. That pretty well describes most of us wormy things. How many of y'all love worms? You fishermen, maybe. Isn't it amazing what can happen to that little worm as he goes to pulling himself into this cocoon and spinning around his body and looping around his body his own casket. But his casket will become his resurrection tomb. And while he lays in there, and they've actually put him under MRIs to watch them as this change takes place. And for many of them, they totally change from a solidified body to a liquid form. A liquid, a thick, pasty liquid inside the cocoon. And from that liquid, they started forming antennae and wings and feet. In a digestive system that is so different than what they had before. Eyes different than what they had before. That for many of them, they can look and see 3D vision. So when they read the scriptures about Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, they don't say three gods. They got 3D vision. So they're like, I see one person. And then the day arrives when it goes to back and out of that little cocoon, pulling out. It has to wait now for a few hours. It has to start moving its wings. And their antennae is not fully blowed out. So from within their self, they start blowing like a little small pump. And they start moving their antennae. And they start coming out, coming out, coming out. The wings still don't have blood flowing through them properly. So they come out and they back out and they start moving their wings. Saying maybe Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7 produces 1 Ephesians 4, 16, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain on the branch will be changed, transfigured. Lord God, I felt a dose of that moving through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't you see, friend? We're almost here. We're almost here. If you find yourself in this place, it's the garden of nuts. It's the time of the nuts. It's the time of the fruits. But you find your heart not where it needs to be. Return. Return. We can't go without you. If your name is on the book, return. Return. You love him with all your heart. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus. How many like to be remembered today before the Lord? That's one thing about the Lord, that he can have folks in all different stages of growth. There's probably people standing or sitting here today that are in different stages, the garden stages. Maybe some of you are still in stage one, some stage two, some stage three. Maybe some of you actually been in stage three, but something's happened in your life, your career, your whatever more, and it's pulled you to that spot to where, you know, your fellowship's not where it needs to be. Once again, the mercy of God has reached to you today. Beckoning. Not just once. Mercy would have been to call you one time. Expounded mercy goes, return. 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 Why? He loves you. He wants you back in that army and that fellowship. He offers to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand to God? God bless you. Maybe some of you sick in your body. Maybe you're not cold, you're not indifferent, but you just like a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Would you just raise your hand? Mine goes up on that, Lord, both of them. I like a refreshing from the presence of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us today. I know, Lord, they don't understand what just happened. They don't understand. You pulled me so far away from the direction I was going to go today. I hope they understand that was you expounding those verses and saying those things. For you know, I knew nothing about it. You know I hadn't studied that way. You know I'm standing here right now, trembling in your presence, my soul. Because what you have just done. I thank you for it, mighty God. May you deal with each of us today. Maybe some in stage one, stage two. Maybe some's in stage three. Maybe some, Lord, have been in stage three, but they found things that's just pulled them away from you. They're still saved. They're still Christians. They still love you, Lord. And then they'll be there. But they know right now they're just not where they need to be. Used to, they made time for you. Used to, church was such a great thing. Prayer, listen to the word. They still listen occasionally. They still come to church. But they know deep down in their heart, it's just not the same. Lord Jesus, may you move upon the chariots of Abinadab. Your people. Your royal people. May we respond to that call of return, to restore, renew, refresh. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. With all of our hearts, we thank you for your great, great mercy, Lord. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Whatever your need is today, friend, just lay it there before him.
The mighty God that created the universe brought things into existence out of nothing, making things to appear when there was nothing to make them out of. He's so mindful of you today. He's come by our way and allowed himself to be revealed in simplicity. Once again, he has condescended and let a mere mortal man be able to preach his word and touch your heart to make you a better person. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. For those of you that aren't indifferent, aren't cold, you don't need that, but you just need a refreshing, may God just come by our way too. I'm not backslid today. I'm not cold, indifferent. But I constantly need refreshing. The pool of all the church, my church alone is enough to keep me so burdened. But I get contacts from people around the world every day of my life. Every day that I live on the earth, people all over the world asking for help and prayer and this and that and the other. I need refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That my work, my burden does not become overwhelming. Oh Lord Jesus, I need your strength. I need your strength today, Lord. Praise God. Let's just raise our hands. May the great baptizer come by our way. For those of you that need a refilling, just open up, take the cap off of your heart, as it were. Just move over and take the cap off of your heart and say, Lord, I'm running pretty low. My joy ain't where it needs to be. My strength, I need a refilling today, Lord. Maybe some of you need a returning. Whether you need a refilling or a returning or a refreshing, our God is here to do what you have need of. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. Sing something for us, Harry. Would you turn and lay your hand on that person standing by and just ask God's blessing and God's help to that brother or sister. Maybe if you're sitting streaming, maybe somebody that'll go back and archive this, wherever you are around the world. Maybe your wife, your children. Maybe you're driving an automobile down a road in England. Or in Johannesburg, South Africa. Or maybe in Norway, wherever you are. Stop what you're doing. Give the Holy Spirit just a few moments of your time. Lord God, we're not just praying for this visible audience, but may the presence of God loop around the world, Lord God. I pray for your men servants. I pray, dear God, for your bride around the globe. Lord Jesus, may you strengthen her. May you encourage her. May you help her, Lord God. For those that need a refreshing, refresh. For those that need a returning, may they return. Hallelujah. May the presence of God help each of us today, Lord. Wherever we are in our garden stage, may the Spirit of God help us. Lord, for those that's in the third stage, Lord, may we not be confident in our own strength and our own ability, but may we acknowledge we need you, Lord Jesus. May we not, out of pride and this and that, say, oh, I can't believe people would be cold in this day. May we be careful the way we judge so we don't turn around and become the same way. Lord, I'm not there today, and I thank you for it, but Lord, I'm not here to judge any person. I'm here to say, keep me, Lord Jesus. I cannot keep myself. I cannot face this challenge myself, Lord. It's too great. Help us, I pray, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bring restored joy. Bring restored peace. Bring restored happiness. Bring restored marriages, restored families, Lord God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may you do a mighty work in our hearts today among us, Father. We love you, Lord. We see the signs of the resurrection. We know the time of the harvest cycle is here.
Those will be the last signs that we will see, Lord. We've seen the Son of Man come down and choose a human vessel to reveal himself. And the sign of the resurrection is the last sign that Abraham saw before his change. Oh, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We see you, Lord Jesus, coming among us and healing the sick. But not only healing the sick, but changing folks' lives. Amen. Amen. Bursting them as only you can do, Lord God. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. We worship you today, Lord. Oh, saints, let's just take a few more minutes before we go. Let's just love him some. Let's just love him and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Brother Donnie, I just don't feel like it. Well, do like David done whenever he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Prophet said he hadn't lost his salvation, but he lost his joy. Lost his joy. Nehemiah tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. We must have it in this day, friends. Amen. Amen. May the Spirit of God minister to you today from the front, but these musician brothers, to the back of the sanctuary, to the upstairs, to the brothers that runs the booths up there, to the sisters in the nurseries. May the Holy Ghost, I pray, go to every heart today. Every hungry heart, may you be ministered to by the presence of God. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Harry, can we sing together? I love that man in the middle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you appreciate him coming and taking your place? That was wonderful, was it not? Don't you appreciate him forgiving you even after you got saved many times and calling you back? Thank God for Calvary, but thank God for Happy Valley. Thank God for Calvary, but thank God for your walk and your life in God. When the mercy of God reached to you even after you got saved and you felt like there ain't no hope for me, thank God the power of Calvary still lives right here today. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just sing this together. Praise the Lord. I love that man in the middle because I know he first loved me. Oh, praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. The middleman made it possible. Amen. That right here this morning, you could go free. Let's sing it again. Oh, I love. Got a prayer request we'd like to take to the Lord today from Brother George Hamlin. Urgent prayer request from my niece. Angela Boyd has an abscess in her mouth that went down past the heart and the lungs. She's having trouble breathing, going into surgery right now. Let's just pray for her. Lord Jesus, you see, dear God, the need. Oh, Lamb of God, we pray for your mercy. Heavenly Father, we believe that your power is the same. Because your character is the same.
yesterday, today, and forever. Lord Jesus, as she faces this surgery, may the Spirit of God, I pray, move. Lord, even right now, if they haven't begun it, before they even start it, you're able to move for her, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, as you move for our brother Larry, hit the other day, Father, whenever he'd had that terrible accident, dear God, and you moved for him when he was fixing to walk down the hallway and go to get an x-ray, and he realized all of a sudden he didn't need an x-ray. So he walked out of the doctor's office and said, I don't need it. Why? Because you're a mighty God. Lord Jesus, we pray for her today. May the Spirit of God move for her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing it together. Oh, I love
because I know he first loved me. Praise to that who died on Mount Calvary, the little man made it possible that I could go free.
Jesus, we thank you for the service today. We thank you for your word. Now as we depart, we ask your protection, your mercy, that you'd watch over us, Lord. Bring us back at the appointed time. May we ruminate, Lord, as sheep do on this food today. Lord, may we find in the days and weeks to come that's still ministering to us because it comes from the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. I'll see you Wednesday. I love that man in the middle because I know.